NBA Australia, how are you going? How you going? How was your weekend? Was it good? Hope you enjoyed yesterday's weekend NBA Australia. That was pretty fun. Anyway, this is NBA Australia. It's Monday, July 19.
The start of a new week, bro.
Everyone's in lockdown. It's all the same day anyway. Whatever. It's, what is it? July 19. That's right. Jeez.
The year's just spooter, boy, isn't it?
Anyway, I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. A Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag. Literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. Here in lockdown Larry Armour Studios.
You can't go outside without your mask on.
Fuck off. Anyway, keeping you completely up to date and giving you the lowdown, all the ins and outs of the NBA finals while ripping Straya a bit. That's what we do here. More so than somebody else who shall remain nameless. Ben Simmons, there you go. We don't take things too seriously around here. We leave that for the nerds. But today's show, we've got a big one, because we're just going to focus on some weekend winners and losers with some repercussions from the Game 5 of the NBA Finals, as well as our big Game 6 preview for Wednesday's game. That'll be fun. We've got some yeah and ahs, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. And it's Monday, so let's just do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mumbra world. A world? Yeah, that checks out. It is just Gaze's world. We're living in it. The Andrew Gaze Grey Mumbra Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Hashtag spoiler alert. We're just going to talk even more about how good Giannis has been. Just saying. Plus the three big questions ahead of Game 6 and Jimmy's best picks and best bets and stuff like that. And we'll finish up with a deli review of Loki. How good's that? Ah, corker of a Monday show for you. Right, let's do it. Episode 657 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Whoa, you better, and you better have, I think 25 years ago today, if you're an Orlando Magic fan, because this was when, 25 years ago, Shaq signed his seven-year deal with the Lakers. They hold $121 million deal with the Lakers. Basically, after a couple of days after the local Orlandoans were like, nah, fuck him. He's not even worth $115 million. And Jerry West and the Lakers moved heaven and earth to go get Shaq. They got their man. And I still remember just a wee little tacker Jimmy out there running around in his oversized basketball, shiglitted his shorts, with his worn down outside rubber ball, shooting hoop after hoop in the backyard. No, I still remember seeing this. I think it was in Pro Basketball Today, right? Do you remember that? The old, this is like throwback time. How we, in my day, how we kept up with the basketball was with a weekly newspaper. Wow, that sounds old as fuck, doesn't it? But that's how it was. We had One-on-One magazine, we had Pro Basketball Today, and I still remember the front cover with Jerry West and Big Shaq out there with the new Lakers jersey. And in the lead up to it, you're kind of like, ah, the Lakers can't clear that much cap space. They can't do it, but the threat was always there. And you sort of figured, look, Orlando are good. They're going to be awesome. He's going to stay. Like, at that point, the Lakers weren't much. And then, boom, he was gone. And it was an earth-shaking sort of move too, this Shaq moving to the Lakers. Obviously, it's the Lakers. Anything that involves the Lakers,
the Lakers stink!
It's massive news. Even back then, obviously, they'd gone through a, you know, a rough patch. It's the mid-90s. This is the Cedric Ceballos, Nick Van Exel years. Amazing times. I loved it. Anyway, so it's marquee kind of vibes. And the Lakers were back almost instantly. Obviously, it took them a while to actually gel. Kobe and Shaq, you know, would eventually go on to win, but for a little bit there, they were disappointing here and there. But still, it more so sort of signaled that move into just the absolute fuck you echelon of money when it came to free agents, right? It was KG, it was Shaq, it was Juwan Howard, it was Alonzo Mourning. And dudes like that in the mid-90s signing those giant, massive deals where you're just like $100 million? Holy shit. Everyone's like losing their minds, and Yeah, it's 25 years ago. So pretty gnarly, kind of fun. I actually just watched The Last Boy Scout, the old Tony Scott movie with Bruce Willis in it, which was gnarly. And it's about, like, you know, some made-up football team, the LA Stallions. I always loved The Last Boy Scout, and I just, you know, it's been a while since I've watched it again. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's, like, just got random bits. It's one of the most overwritten movies you'll ever see. But it's also great because it's got this weird sort of vibe about it. It's right. Fucking free agents taking all the goddamn money, derp my derp. It's like very much like free agents ruin football. A lot of that vibe, which is fucking hilarious where we are now, where football is like nothing but pomp and circumstance and shit tons of money. But also, like, that's a bit of a prevailing vibe in the start of the 90s, like, with especially your white redneck audience. Sort of losing their mind about black players getting so much money. People up in arms about free agents and not spending 4 years in college. What a world! And here we are now. Anyway, let's start today's show. The way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Apparently it's not just a trip down Jimmy's memory lane. Team USA today beat Spain. They all came up clear in the COVID protocols. Even Jeremy Grant apparently is going to be okay. And looks to be flying with the team to Tokyo, which is kind of good. And I tell you what, the Aussie players, after having their last game against the, their game against the USA cancelled, they just went, right, pack her up, boys. They had their big Boomers culture night, which was very, very cool. A big throwback to the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. They had, like, the T-shirts, the Akubras, they had their numbers and everything. And the jerseys looking good. That was very cool. Great stuff. And, like, Team USA, Keldon Johnson really rocked up. He just absolutely smashed in the third quarter that one today. They smoked a bunch of threes and beat Spain. But, I mean, they still didn't look crash hot, I'm just saying. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. I think we'll get into that in the weekend losers. And really, the only other little bit of news, I mean, we had Wes Unseld Jr. being confirmed as the Wizards coach with his four-year deal yesterday. Will the Thrill Barton, I didn't touch on this one yesterday, is declining his player option, so he's going to be a free agent. Pretty interesting because it's a big, 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 big contract with a large amount of money that he's opting out of, Will the Thrill. Because, I mean, it is a pretty weak free agency class though. So 14.7 mil for Will the Thrill becomes a free agent. I mean, he could probably command a bit more than that and obviously in a longer deal. So makes sense, I guess. Right. Well, it's Monday. There's been lots of stuff. We covered off all of the Game 5 stuff yesterday. So let's do weekend winners and losers today because, I don't know, it's a nice way to wrap everything up. So why the hell not? It's my show. I'll do what I want.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news... tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed.
Goodbye! Right, before we do weekend winners and losers, they are brought to you by DraftKings Australia. That's right, DraftKings Australia. If you want to play some daily fantasy, you might only have one more NBA chance before next season, so you better jump on board with DraftKings Australia. Our mates from DraftKings Australia are awesome. They're great sponsors. Absolutely legendary. Our exclusive NBA Australia comp for Game 5 was unreal. You can still join via NBA Australia and have a crack at daily fantasy with dkng.co/Australia or just click on the links on our socials or our website. Go play some daily fantasy. We'll actually have some daily fantasy tips at the very end of this show for Game 6 as well, who I'm going to be banking on, who I'm going to hope can help me win some moolah, etc. But either way, it's great fun. Daily fantasy is easy. All you have to do is sign up. Pick your players out of the game. Who do you reckon is going to have the best game out of everybody? Stay in the salary cap. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tricky. It's pretty fun. Who's going to be the bench guy that goes off in this one? It's always the head scratcher. Anyway, so go check it out. dkng.co/Australia. Right, weekend winners. Yes. Oh, duh. It's a great Derry history, isn't it? He's 1-1 win away from having the same amount of rings as Kostas Antetokounmpo. Love that. But also, we'll talk about brothers and stuff in a second too. But for Giannis, like, being one win away from an NBA title, having the chance to close out in Milwaukee, which I hear is Algonquin for the good land, is absolutely massive. This is his team. It's the team that took a chance on him, brought him over. He fell in love with this city. He signed his extensions. He stayed. He's the one who stayed. He stayed for all the money.
Yeah, I might tear down a quarter of a billion bucks. What do you reckon, Folkoff?
But the thing is, like, yes, he's doing it for his city, doing it for his team. One win away of just complete and utter validation for every decision he's made. To stay, to do it for his team. And also a validation of the two MVPs that he won, right? So, because this is also going to change. If he wins this title this year, there is almost a guarantee that if he's half as, maybe not half, but if he was as good as he was this year, right? Where Giannis was an absolute dominating force, don't forget, because we wrote him off. It was all about the narrative. Now he's reset the narrative by being a winner. Just a heads up, right? This year, he averaged a lazy 28, 11, and 6. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's insane. If he does that again next year, there's a very good chance he could win the MVP again. If he doesn't win the title, it's going to be a bit trickier, but goddamn. So not only is it a validation of his existing two MVPs, where it's pretty tough to go through your career winning multiple MVPs and never winning a title, Steve Nash, but this is massive. So he's already top 30 all time. We talked about that with Lakers fan Tim on Friday's show. And if he wins, I mean, it's obviously top 30 all time, and he's only 26. They've got this team locked away for the next 4 years at least with Giroux and his extension, Giannis and his extension, Milton's like contract. That's massive. So Giannis is a huge winner because he's reset the narrative about himself and being able to win more MVPs, but also has like series defining moments coming out his fucking ass. He's got the block. He's got the alley-oop. He's got the free throw counting downs where he shrugs it off. Nearly cost him at the end of game 5, but still, that's huge. He's got iconic moments. He could reset the narrative, validates everything he's done. Huge weekend. Not bloody bad. Of course, still got to win one more game. Giroux Holiday is a weekend winner, obviously. 100% made what they gave up for him, the Bucks. 87 million draft picks. Eric Bledsoe. Made it worth it, obviously, just for that game 5 alone. Like, also, the rest of his defense, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, how he put CP3 and Devin Booker at different times in the boo box, ruined their lives, burned down their houses at times. Like, it's not going to matter how many picks you give up in the future, because if they win, the Bucks fans will get to be like, man, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that in fucking 2027 we don't have pick number 28, because remember Jrue Holiday in that game 5 and then the next two titles that we won? Holy shit, the Jrue Holiday steal and the oop to Giannis. Wow. Like, that's going to live on forever. Like, pick number fucking 18 in 8 years' time is not going to matter, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, like, it's also like a signature moment, which is huge for Jrue Holiday, because this is the finals. That play, that steal and then the alley-oop is now etched in stone. And the minds of Hoops fans forever will remember Jrue Holiday this way. That's massive for a dude like Jrue Holiday, whose entire career is going to be like, oh, he's an all-star, but is he any good? Like, he's good defensively, but shit, I don't know, man. Remember when, like, the Sixers just traded him to, like, the Pals? Like, what was up with that? Anyway, but this is great. It's awesome for him. He gets, like, just that all-time legacy historical marker. You got to love it. Good on you, Drew. Of course, still got to win one game. Buds, big weekend winner. He's been really good these finals, especially with the defense and the moves they've made. We've talked about like the drop coverage, their pick and roll coverage, and how they've completely strangulated all of the Phoenix corner threes out of existence, essentially. They've stopped Chris Paul getting to the rim. They've really stymied pretty much everybody else apart from Devin Booker. And it's been like the offense for Bud still has those moments where you're like, what the fuck is happening? But he really hit on something at the start of the second quarter in game 5, where he just gave it over to Jrue Holiday and Brook Lopez. They dominated. They turned that game around. That was massive. But their planning and their ability to change game to game on defense has been really big. And for all the shit we've given Buds over the years, and it's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
Yeah, it's been a lot. He's been fucking good. Like, he and Monty Williams, you look at this, like, going into the finals, going, well, that's a coaching mismatch. And Monty's been the one who just is kind of like, well, his fucking cupboard's pretty bare after they lose Dario, the homie Saric. But at the same time, the changes just haven't worked, and the Bucks have just been better. So Bud's massive winner from a bloke who, if Kevin Durant's toe is like an inch further back, loses his gig. Just his job's gone. See your buds as being good on your fucking bike. Turns around, wins three on the trot so far in these finals. Wins one more. He's an all-time hero. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. But he's still got to win one more. The Bucks fans! Oh, they're weekend winners because, A, they win game five. Obviously, that's a big win. But the cool part is, B, they now get a home game six where they just get to spend the entire game shitting their pants, freaking out with their team, with all their friends and family, are also Bucks fans. You're all going to get to be super fucking nervous. The entire arena in there is going to be jumping. It's going to be nervous as fuck. The Deer District, it's going to be awesome because you get to experience it together at home. It's going to be unreal. So that's massive for Bucks fans. They're huge weekend winners. Chris Paul. What? Jimmy, how's he a weekend winner? He basically bottled it in game four, and in game five, he kind of led a comeback that, you know, fell short, but was a bit shit. And if he loses this one, Jimmy's legacy will be tarnished forever. He always gets hurt, they'll say. Chris Paul doesn't have what it takes to win a title, they say. Yes. Yes, they will. Especially when it comes out that he's been playing with like a severed wrist or whatever the fuck he, you know, uses an excuse. But the best part is Chris Paul will just get to chalk this up to injuries and him not bottling it. And that's a massive win for Chris Paul. Because if this is a Chris Paul, super healthy Chris Paul, shitting the bed, that's a massive big black mark against his name again. As opposed to, he's hurt himself. He battled manfully. He's tough as nails, that Chris Paul. That's how it's going to look at. But, I mean, the knock is still going to be, yes, he always gets injured, but he's a weekend winner because, we mentioned this on yesterday's show, I'm not putting it beyond Chris Paul to be tanking this series so that he's brought back by the Suns, right? The biggest win for Chris Paul is how much money he's going to make after this. He rolls into Phoenix, brings them to the finals. Like, he's now got Robert Sarver over a barrel if they lose. It's like, really? Really? You're not going to pony up for the bloke who just dragged your team to the finals, Robert Sarver? Of course he's got to pay for it. Whatever New York are going to throw at Chris Paul, Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, has to sit there and go, fuck. Ugh. That's going to cost me so much money. I'm such a cheap sack of shit. Like, they lose, he's got to bring him back. And they pull off an amazing comeback and win. Chris Paul still comes out smelling like roses because he's a legend forever, and then he can fuck off into the sunset just like Kawhi did, right? He can have a weird laugh on the way out too. But either way, Chris Paul wins. If they lose, he gets brought back by the Suns on a fuck ton of money. They win. He's a legend in Phoenix forever and can go where the fuck he wants and also get paid a shit ton of money. He changed the rules as the president so that of the Players Association that so that dudes can still make max money past the age of 36. Gee, who was going to be turning 36 when he might be signing max contracts? Was it Chris Paul, Jimmy? Yes! Oh, duh! Amazing stuff. Anyway, as usual, Chris Paul wins. And finally, I think in terms of like just weekend winners, us and sick finals plays, because this series has been awesome. There's not been a game that hasn't had some sort of weird drama, some sort of crazy explosion of scoring. We've had like 40-point games from fucking everybody, it feels like, at this point, apart from Chris Paul. And like the fact that Jrue Holiday threw that lob to Giannis rather than play the clock out, which gives us this fucking absolutely gnarly highlight to end the game, essentially, is unreal. And it came right after Game 4's Giannis block. Like, that's insane. This is what we fucking live for as Hoops fans. Insane plays at the absolute fucking pinnacle of the game when it matters the most. And that is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And also, I guess Chris Middleton's a weekend winner because, I don't know, he's proven that he's very good. All right, let's do weekend losers.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser. Loser.
Loser. Losers. Loser. Aaron and Justin Holiday. Jrue Holiday's about to win the title and a gold medal probably. That is going to be a tough, tough dinner table. Pass the mash, please. Get it yourself, Giroux. Giroux just whips out his gold medal. Thump. Flashes his ring. Oh, yeah. How's my ass taste now, Aaron and Justin? Pass the motherfucking mash. I'm the alpha here. And they're like, oh. Like, how are his poor mum and dad? Like, there's now a clear favourite if Drew Holiday wins the title and the gold medal. Like, poor Aaron and Justin Holiday and poor their parents, because, like, just trying to imagine answering the question, do you love us as much as you love Giroux? And Giroux sitting there with a gold medal around his neck and a fucking title ring. Yes, Aaron, we really do. Sure you do, Mum. Sure. Devin Booker! Oh, how can he be a weekend loser, Jimmy? He just dropped back-to-back 40-point games. Yeah, he also became the first person in NBA Finals history to have back-to-back 40-point games and lose both the games. Just imagine that. Drop bang back-to-back 40s. You get blown out in game six, imagine, which is what I'm slightly predicting. But just imagine this for Devin Booker. So he drops the back-to-back 40s and then goes to game six. Milwaukee beat them. Maybe they kick the shit out of them. Devin Booker then has to jump on a plane, a private plane, to Japan with two of the blokes who just put him in the boo box and kicked his ass. They beat his ass like a Cherokee drum. Do you remember that from, what was that, Fast and Furious? Was that Hobbs and Shaw? Like that weird rock moment. I'm going to beat your ass like a Cherokee drum. It's like, is that, can he say that? Is he part Cherokee? I don't know. Anyway, but fucking hell. But Devin Booker, that's rough as hell. Like, he gives his all. The rest of his team fucking spuds it up in the finals on him. They couldn't figure out how to slow down Pat fucking Connaughton. And Devin Booker's stuck on a goddamn private jet with two of the blokes who beat him in the finals for 12 hours. Like, that is some tense fucking travel scrabble, isn't it? Jesus. Poor fucking Devin Booker. The Suns fan counting money is a bit of a loser. I mean, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, he probably 100% got mugged at halftime. Probably after the game. But just think about that in general. You've literally just had your face on national TV counting hundreds. If you walk down the street in Phoenix and somebody goes, hey, it's the Suns counting all the money. Oh, I wonder how much more. How much do you reckon he's got on him right now? Should we? Let's find out. Rolled. Jesus. Not going to go another week of his fucking life without getting mugged. Jay Crowder is a weekend loser. Talks a lot of shit for a dude who keeps getting beaten in the finals. But also, let dude shoot 9 of 12 against him in game 5. He hit 2 threes in the first quarter and then did sweet fuck all and turned into Kevin Love the rest of the way. Not ideal. LeBron James is a weekend loser. But Jimmy, Space Jam beat Black Widow at the fucking box office, man. Look, I can't wait to see Space Jam personally. And anybody going, oh man, it's not as good as the first one. It's a kid's movie. When you saw it for the first time, you're a kid. Are you a kid now? No. Then if it's not atrocious, fuck off. I don't want to hear it. But LeBron also smuggling in his BYO tequila bottle for game 5. Has LeBron fallen on hard times? Can he not afford booze in the arena? Also, one rule for everybody else. I mentioned this on yesterday's show, right? Like, if I knew that NBA games were fucking BYO, I would have saved myself an absolute goddamn fortune. Just imagine your mate Jimmy wandering into every Brooklyn Nets game for 6 years, coming off the subway with a slab on my shoulder going, what's going on, boys? We're going to get shit-faced tonight! The best part about America is how cheap the beer is everywhere except for sporting events. And if I had have realized I could have just brought in my own booze, like LeBron, I would have saved literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. I spent a lot of money on beer in Brooklyn. I'll tell you what, some of those beers at, like, at the Barclays Center, Barclays Arena, what at Barclays Center, yeah. We had, our season tickets were awesome because we had a great bar, literally just around the corner. So you popped out the back of our section, turned the corner, my boy was there. Big L, he was awesome. Big old Brooklyn. Hey, James, how you going? He's like, ah, man, what's going on? Hey, and every, like, I didn't have to show my fucking Brooklyn Nets season ticket card or anything. He just do the, you know, the discount automatically, which is gnarly. They had amazing beers on tap, don't get me wrong. But it would run you 15, 16 American dollars for a pretty big beer, but still, it's a fucking lot of money for a beer, you know? Whereas you go outside, you can walk down to like the fucking bodega and get like a goddamn 12-pack of Buds for like $4. I'll get 6 PBRs for $4, please. Unbelievable. Anyway, tell you what, I missed that aspect of America. Not a giant amount of the other ones. Other losers, apparently me, and beers. Aww. The Wizards. Look, I love the hiring of Wes Unseld Jr., right? Like, it's great, good on him. He's done the hard yards, but just imagine this if you're a Wizards fan. You just spend 25 years having a club legend, franchise legend, team legend, Wes Unseld, who won the Rookie of the Year and MVP at the same time. Only the second dude to ever do that, him and Wilt. And then got the title in 1978. Awesome. And then spent the next 25 years as either the coach or GM in just absolute fucking mediocrity. He made the playoffs, I think, once as a coach and once as a GM in 20 fucking years. And now his son rolls in. That's got to be almost some PTSD shit if you're a goddamn Wizards fan. All 17 of them. Tough one. the weekend losers. Other small market GMs. Yep, if the Bucks win, there goes your excuses, other small market GMs. Oh, we don't have a fair playing field. Milwaukee did, and they won the title. It's like talking about like, they have that. My friend Kane has that at home. It's like, well, does Kane do this? Like, oh, I guess. But other small market GMs, like, oh, keeping our superstars is so tough. And Milwaukee, like, hello. Well, yeah, just build a team around your superstar the right way, and then you're laughing. And it's kind of fun. Like, it's awesome, too, because, like, the way both these teams are constructed, right, drafted their homegrown superstars, they brought in some big-time veteran point guards and Chris Paul, Jrue Holiday, etc. A couple of other little trades here and there to get their other dudes in. They've got DeAndre Ayton on the Suns, another, you know, number one pick out of nowhere that they sort of got that number one. But yeah, the other small market GMs, they now don't have the excuse that they're a small market because the Bucks are doing it. Adam Silver, weekend loser, because these games have been great. But you better believe that Adam Silver is not on the blower, right? If you don't believe he's not on the blower right now, organizing a game 7, I've got a, you can pull my leg. That one plays amazing by Alex Lloyd. Pull the other leg. David Stern would 100% have made this go to 7. So Adam Silver, got a lot to live up to. And finally, weekend losers, Team USA. Look, the Keldon Johnson, JaVale McGee stuff is kind of overblown, right? Like, they're really replacing Brad Beal with Devin Booker once he gets there, if he sticks around. And adding Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton to that team. But the reason the Team USA are losers at this point, right? Like, the air of invincibility they've had for, what, the last 12-plus years since the Kobe, LeBron, Melo, Beijing tour of invincibility. The ass-kickery tour, basically, of Beijing. Like, that's gone. And it's not just, like, Australia beating the men's and women's team in exhibitions. It's, like, Nigeria doing it as well. It's really just, like, no matter what Pop says about how they never used to kick the fuck out of everybody, they did. Let's not be silly about it. And it sort of just means that since, like, the 2004 shit show, the rest of the world haven't really been in awe. The rest of the world have gone, aha, we can beat them. I get it. And now they're not in. Now the rest of the world's not afraid. The invincibility is gone. And it's taken, what, the next 16 years for everybody else to actually sort of have the talent pool to build up to the point where it's like, well, not only we're not afraid, like, we might fucking win this and we kind of expect to. Like, that's what Jingles was saying, which is awesome. So Team USA should always probably have the best team, but the rest of the pack's going to give themselves a fucking shot now and feel confident in knocking them over. Because just think about the NBA, right? And this is going to be the problem whenever you listen to an NBA show or whatever podcast from the States. You go, how could we ever possibly lose? And they just have zero fucking perspective. It's a classic American vibe. Zero perspective outside of their own. Just think about the NBA right now. Giannis, Joker, Luka, three of what, the best 5-6 players in the NBA right now, as well as Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Vooch. I mean, you've just had the Gasols out here kicking ass, taking names. You've got Poku. Watch out. But also, you've got the Canadian contingent, Jam and Jamal Murray, SGA, Wigo. Like, the rest of the world is good. And just like the last World Cup in 2019 in China, there's now going to be times when the USA don't medal. And the USA are going to keep having these fucking meltdowns until they do something about it and try to, like, engender and foster an idea of team and stability about Team USA, similar to what other countries have. And until they do, they're going to keep being beaten. And until they have, like, the very, 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 very best players available every time, that's how it's going to go, which is fucking gnarly. So they might be weekend losers, but I'll tell you what, the rest of the world is fucking awesome and weekend winners. All right, let's do some YNRs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're
listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some quick YNRs. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. That's right, it's lockdown. Why go to the Bottle-O where you got to wear a mask and you might get the fucking Rona? Just have a look at the exposure sites. It's everywhere. It's brutal. Fuck that. Go to the online Bottle-O, thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Because if you're in Melbourne, you got NBA finals still. You got footy season. You got the Olympics coming up. Mate, beeros. You need them. You need some cocktails. You need some wine. You need all the good stuff. So go check it out at thedailyliquor.com. They've got something for everybody, as long as they're over 18, of course. And if you bang in the code STRAYA, not only will they drop off all your booze Rona-free at your door, they'll give you a free six-pack of the Dos Blocos XPA. The Dos Blocos X, the Red Devils! Love that one. Just with the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Go check it out. Metro Melbourne area, same-day delivery before noon. Smash it right now. Get a six on your mate Jimmy, and thank me later. Right, yeah, Naz. First one, I just want to expand a little bit more on the... So Brad McEagan yesterday had the old, yeah, nah, Liz Cambage has shown Ben Simmons how to do it. And I sort of, you know, kind of went, yeah, she kind of has, and it's shitty, right? And I want to reiterate, I fucking hate it when it feels like mental health is used as an excuse for somebody acting like a fuckwit, right? Rather than the actual cause of someone having to pull out of a basketball squad, etc. Because if you're going to act like a cockwit and then go, all right, mental health. Like, that fucking sucks. And it devalues all the work that other folks put into their own mental health and the struggle others go through. And it's just really fucking brutal, you know? Look, no one's devaluing Liz Cambage's experience and what she's going through right now. It sounds tough. And but look, I can't relate. I'm not a famous basketball player. But, you know, if you have... an incident at a game, and then you have like the press release about mental health reasoning. It just feels horribly predictable and just really fucking shit for all the other folks out there dealing with their own shit right now, right? So I just wanted to bang on that again, and I fucking hate it. Like, yes, Liz might be dealing with her own shit, but fuck me, man. I hate it when it's rolled out as an excuse for someone being a cockwit. Also, don't want to devalue her experience. Right, Dan Drosher, though. He goes, Jimmy, Adam Silver, do you reckon he didn't want Josh Giddey at the Olympics? That's why he invited Giddey to the green room. Yeah, nah, I kind of like this. I kind of like this one a lot. Because it's very much Adam Silver in the pocket of Team USA going, Jesus, Giddey looked pretty fucking good against Team... Oh, shit. Yeah, look, I'll tell you what... Giddey's out there running the show against Nigeria. We can't have him fucking just stepping up in Tokyo. Hey, Josh, do you want to come to the green room? I'll make sure you go top 14. Classic Adam Silver. Right, some Game 6 stuff. Jimmy, can Phoenix win Game 6? Yeah, nah, yes, they can. If everything goes right, if CP3 is healthy, if Booker drops another 40, if their role players step up. Now, going into this series, I think my reasoning behind it was a lot of it was that the Suns haven't played stinkers at anywhere near the rate of other teams. And I kind of feel like that's still the point. They shot so fucking well in Game 5 and still lost to the point where it's like historically nobody else has shot that well and lost a finals game. And here they are still down 3-2. So we know that they can be good. We saw it in the first quarter of game 5 where they absolutely blew the doors off the Bucks. The biggest problem has been their defense, and that's where I'm kind of like, oh, shit. It does kind of feel like the Bucks have figured them out a little bit, Giannis especially. So I asked, can Phoenix win game 6? Now I'll ask, will they? Yeah, nah, don't think they will. I think there's a couple of things in play here, right? Momentum. The Bucks have all of it. They've got history on their side being up 3-2. I think, what is it, 81% of them, 81% of the teams are up 3-2 going to win it. They've been playing the way you want them to play as well, right? They're gunning it. Giannis creating. The pick and roll with Middleton has been unstoppable. Jrue Holiday stepped up big time in game 5 on the D and on O. I mean, Phoenix fans are just kind of at this point hoping that Adam Silver intervenes, and it's one of those classic darkest before the dawn timeline vibes, right? Because, yeah, the pressure is on Milwaukee to close out at home, and Phoenix have been an underdog all season, all playoffs. They go into a hostile environment. Their story can be like, yeah, they go in as underdogs. They win. They force game 7. They're going home and they can clinch on their home floor. It's a huge setup. I still kind of think the most likely outcome is the Bucks beating the absolute piss out of them, because after those first two games, the two games that Phoenix won, our big point here on NBA Australia was the Bucks have all the upside. Like, the Bucks played like shit those first two games. The Suns played really well. Guess what happens in game 3, 4, and 5? The Bucks played much better and won. So you got to wonder if the Suns have another gear to kick it into, because I'm not entirely convinced they did. It looked like they did at the start of game 5. That first quarter was insane. And then Jrue Holiday and Brooke Lopez had absolutely other ideas, and away they went. But it is set up amazingly, because I kind of want to say this one. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. I want the Suns to win game 6 so bad. Because I want a game 7. Like, I think my pick is going to be the Bucks. But in my heart, I want the Suns to force a game 7. Because if you don't have a rooting interest in this, and you don't have money on, like, the Bucks in 6, or you're not Brandon Jennings, like, you want it to go 7 games. Like, it's the simple fact. It's the simple truth. You want it to go 7. You want it to go as long as possible. And you know me. I always want chaos, and I want as much basketball as possible, so I want the Suns to win. I don't think they will, but I want them to. All right, what about Outback Takeouts for today, Jimmy, before we get into the preview? It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, I've just been out the back with the squid's fucking cricket bat. Why is that, you ask, Jimmy? Well, because I hear that and then go bang! Just to serve you up some fresh kookaburra wings. Only at Outback. That's right. Our flame grilled take today is Chris Paul getting this far and then losing 4 straight in the NBA Finals would just be the basketball gods taunting CP3 for all the dirty plays and whinging shit he's done over the years. It's expert level trolling from the basketball gods. Only at Outback. I mean, for a person to call himself the point god, well, not maybe the call himself the point god, but is referred to as the point god. I feel that's dicing with blasphemy just a little bit too much, you know what I'm saying? And the basketball gods, I don't think they like that. But, I mean, I'm still angry. I think I tweeted out how that fucking shove midair should have been a flagrant, and apparently just the refs don't care anymore. But goddamn, man. This is 100% the basketball gods going, raising Chris Paul's hopes quite expertly and then dashing them. All right, let's do a very, very brief break. We'll do the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award and then the Game 6 preview right after. Let's say this one.
This is Chris Anstey and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's quickly talk about Knowable, which is a great new app where you get to learn lots of great stuff thanks to lots of smart, smart people on Knowable. You've got dudes like Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, teaching you awesome stuff from their amazing careers. It's all like basically Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. The squid hates it because when we're listening to it, he's not listening to Thomas and Friends story times. He goes absolute gaga for that. The bloke from NASA teaches you about stuff from space. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. Hopefully, he can reattach his hand. And Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. But download the app from the App Store. Bang in the code STRAYA. Get 20% off getting smarter. How good is that? All right, let's do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. Clap it up. There you go. Man, not bad. All right, this one's easy because it's just a bit of a redux of yesterday. So Giannis, we mentioned this one on yesterday's show. He also won the Andrew Gaze Grand Mamba. I just want to go into it a little bit further. So he has 32-9-6 in Game 5. Absolutely amazing. He became the fifth player in NBA Finals history to have 30-plus points, 5-plus assists, 5-plus rebounds, and 0 turnovers. Since turnovers were tracked in, like, 1978, right? 1978. It's basically LeBron in 2020, KD in 2017, and then nothing until Dennis Johnson and Larry Bird back in 1987. Unbelievable. That's how good that game was. 32-9-6. He's the fifth player to ever to do that. 35-5 plus, 0 turnovers. The crazy part is he's had 20 assists and only 2 turnovers the last 3 games. Talk about point guard, holy shit. The craziest part, on top of that, 5 finals games. Giannis is averaging 32.2 points, 13 rebounds, and 5.5 assists. Holy shit. So when people go, oh, he's like Shaq, tell him to shut up. Because Shaq never fucking like had 6 assists in a final series as well. Holy moly. Like, Shaq was incredible. We all get that. And the last piece of this is obviously that Shaq, in that like insane couple of runs that he had in the finals, you know, the start of the thousands, his finals runs were absolutely like all time, right? We all know that. It was a dominating presence as he'd go on to, you know, beat Indy, etc. That Indiana series, he averaged just a lazy 38-16. Like, fuck you. It's insane. 38-16 is just fucking just bonkers. But only 2.3 assists, and that was matched by 2.2 turnovers, you know what I'm saying? And then in 2001, he's out there against Philly, just dominating. He averaged 33-16 in that one. 4.8 assists, but not quite, but that was on 4 turnovers as well. Not quite Giannis level. You know? Just saying. Now about the next one. What about the old 2002 Shaq? Did he get there with the assist? What do you reckon? No, he didn't. Of course he didn't. In that sweep of the Nets, yeah, it was 36-12. Jesus Christ, he was good. 3.8 assists, 3.5 turnovers. So, Giannis out here, averaging almost 6 assists and shooting 63% as a true shooting percentage is fucking crazy. But the best part is, like, that was his 13th straight game shooting 50% or better in the postseason. That ties 06 Shaq for longest streak in the shot clock era. So, pretty bloody good, you know? Turns out, Giannis good. So was Shaq. All right, so there you go. A lot of Shaq, a lot of Giannis. Gotta love it. Let's do a bit of a game. Oh, no, we'll do a game preview after the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. The Boomers Instagram obviously popping off. I wanted to quickly look on Jock Landale's Instagram, though. Really enjoyed this. So after that Boomers Heritage Night, which I'll talk about in a second, Jock Dale posted a picture of him out there, 135th Australian Boomer, hashtag YTB. Gotta love it. Is the picture of him and Matty Nielsen and Gorge. Beautiful stuff out there with these 34. It's looking really good. Enjoying the Landale experience. But the Boom and the Sobeys out there as well. Boomers Culture Night. Sobes loved it. He's out there with his number 2 with Matty Nielsen and Gorge and his hat. But the Boomers. And very much enjoying the... We are proud to unveil our coat of arms, a strong and bold traditional green and gold colour, particularly in regards to the Olympics. Modern interpretations of the traditional kangaroo and emu. Subtle basketball icon with a shield that also represents the Australian landscape, etc. Looking good. Good stuff, Boomers. But the best part is the Cultural Heritage Night. Go check it out. Boomers Culture Night. Jerseys inspired by the Boomers who attended the 64 Tokyo Olympics. It looks awesome. Looking cool. They've got their Akubras on. And I love the throwback picture from the 64 Olympics as well. So go have a look. All the vibes, green and gold. Boys out there crushing it. Talk about inspirational. Right, let's do a game preview for Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Game preview. Game preview.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah. I've been riding the squid to daycare. Chuck him on the back of the bike. And he's loving it. We've got a big fucking hill that I've got to obviously ride back up. And, yeah, speed demon. He's like, yeah, this is gnarly. We're fanging down. But otherwise, you know, lockdown, continuing your pace, drinking more. Loving it. Anyway, so for the playoffs, we're at 50-83 of our game picks so far for the playoffs. Game 6 on Wednesday. So we're not going to do a show tomorrow. Obviously, it's Tuesday, so I do a... I've got the squid all day. It's always a bit tough to do a Tuesday show. That's why the Game 6 preview is in today's show, so you can listen to this all day tomorrow, catch up, get set up for Wednesday morning's game, and away we go. So, Suns at Bucks, Game 6. Can the Bucks close it out? What do you reckon? It's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. It's going to be special. The Bucks are 4.5-point favorite still. My pick yesterday was Bucks minus 4.5, and I think it's an absolute belting. The over is 22.5, and that's a little bit higher than they've had of late. I think it dropped down to 218.5 last game, 222.5 points over. I'm probably going to go the over anyway, because I think they, I mean, we saw them absolutely smashing in Game 5, and if it's an absolute just run out of the gym kind of game for the Bucks, I mean, the Suns are going to have to try to catch up, so it could be a high-scoring affair. You never know, though. Elimination games are always a bit tighter, so maybe not. Yeah, maybe I'll go under. I still think they smash them. Three big questions for Game 6. Can Chris Paul reattach his hands, step up, and change history? Because this is it, right? He would have to change history at this point because talking about pruning timelines and shit, there is a timeline where Chris Paul comes out of this finals. Oh, I was injured. It sucks. And everyone's like, oh, Chris Paul's always injured, bro. It's just what he does. He could change that history with a big performance here. Like, Booker dropped 40-plus back-to-back, and they lose both. Chris Paul needs to come out, drop a 37-13 in this game to give them a chance. Because we all know we're going to get the CP3 injury excuse the minute this is over, but I'm just hoping against hope that he steps up big time. We've seen it time and time again this playoff run. We've talked about his elimination game spectacular performances so far these playoffs. Can he do it? Can he step up big time? If he does and forces a Game 7, that is changing history. That is stepping up when the moment needs it. That's not the Chris Paul we know. But it has been the Chris Paul so far this playoff run. So can he do it again? Where's your 37-13, Chris? Show us! That's drama! I want the drama! Give me the drama! Fuck yeah. So there's a lot of big questions. Look, we know that Chris Paul, just in terms of his defense, in terms of his basketball IQ, he's going to impact games. I think that's been the biggest surprise out of some of this, though, in the last couple of games, right? Where how little impact he's actually had. Like in the third quarter of Game 5, it's like, oh, shit. They were running roughshod over him. Then he stepped up big time in the fourth quarter, nearly got them back. Well, he got them all the way back into it, right? It was all orchestrated by him. So now they need him to step up, lead from the front, kick some ass, take some names. But maybe it's just a little bit too much for him. He's old as shit. He's 36. Come on. I don't know. I want to see it happen, though. Number two, how much do we get to see of the Giannis Middleton pick and roll? Is it just all game? Because the Suns had zero answers for that, right? It absolutely destroyinated the Suns' schemes and... Giannis being able to just basically go around Ayton at times is horrifying because they don't have a backup for Ayton. Ayton can't get in foul trouble. They've now realized it and they go at him. And he's changing and challenging shots at the rim without fouling because Ayton's really fucking good. But the Giannis and Middy pick and roll just gives you so many options if you're the Bucks. And that's how Patty Connaughton gets open. That's how Jrue Holiday is suddenly like, oh shit. If I'm not out here by myself with Brook Lopez, I'm just out here getting open threes. This is gnarly. But really, I guess this does turn into just like the Bucks offense. They were historic in Game 5 to the point where what I mentioned on yesterday's show, in the fourth quarter, though, like 140 points per 100 possessions, which is crazy. Across the entire game, they were still 135, which is insane. They probably can't hope to replicate that unless the Suns' D is that bad again. But, like, their plan around their big three, Lopez, Patty C, we know the role players step up when they're at home. Does that happen? Who hits, like, do they hit the insane? They hit some fucking crazy shot. I want to just bash this point home just a little bit. Just, I've watched game five twice now. Just the level of shot making from the Bucks is astronomical. Middleton was hitting shots that he just had no right to be making. Jrue Holiday was just like, half those shots went in and out and kept going in. Whereas in the previous four games, they'd rattled out. Giannis is hitting step back jumpers. He's not, like that shot that he hit from just inside the 3-point line. You're like, what is going on? Like he's feeling it. The weird little up and under like layup that he hit out of absolutely nowhere. The one that he went around Ayton on. Like they hit amazing shots. Can they do that again? Do they need to do that again? Where's the regression going to come from? Can they weather the regression? That's going to be the big thing. Does Patty C continue to hit shots? Does Lopez step up somehow? Is this what you do now if you're the Bucks? Do you just go, right, let's absolutely fucking punish them big time style with Bobby Portis and Lopez like we did the last round? Can we steal a game like that? Who knows? But you got to love the Bucks really, really, really hit on something with Holiday and Lopez of the in the second quarter of game five, which let Giannis rest a bit, which meant that he had heaps more in the tank down the stretch. You got to remember, though, in the back of your head, you're going to be sitting there, but is Buds just going to do the exact same thing again because it worked in game five? Is that what Buds is going to do? Will Monty Williams figure it out? What's going to happen? I don't know, but the big question is, what is happening with that Bucks offense in this one? Can they get like heaps more out of the Giannis and Middleton pick and rolls? They probably will. Does Lopez step up? Does Patty C keep canning threes? That's a big one. And finally, can the Suns defense just do anything against that offense? That's going to be the third one. Because the Suns, look, we know that Ayton's good. Bridges was really fucking good on defense in game five. He and Ayton were like the only ones. Booker was getting torched. Chris Paul was getting torched. Crowder got fucking just flambéed. Like, it was wild. They were really good in the first quarter, the role players in the Suns. Booker was just shooting flames out of his hands. Ayton was really good. But then the Bucks just had their way with them. So now the Suns are on the road. The D has to step up. Give them the clamps. And they've got to play the perfect game on offense as well, which is what the Bucks did in game five. They played their perfect game on offense. Can the Suns do that? It's going to depend on the D. It's going to depend on them getting out, transition, getting some easy buckets on the road. And can you cover for Booker when he sits? He was a plus +7, I think, in game five. So they got fucking straight kilt every time he sat. He got straight killed. So they need to make Milwaukee work harder, get them uncomfortable, try to let them get in their own heads because Milwaukee want to so bad. They don't want to let down that crowd. So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. And I think the Suns can do it. They can. They can. Milwaukee will want to bottle it at some point. But you can't let Milwaukee run away with it, have the momentum, have all that crowd behind them. You're going to make them work. That said, I still think the Bucks win. Bucks minus -4.5. It's a bit tough. Look, remember, one of my picks before the season was Bucks winning the title. Obviously, my pick for this series was Suns in 5. But if they win game 3, I'm still fine. Anyway, so some other picks for this one. I think Phoenix can win it. And if they do, it's going to be a big CP3 game. So if you think that as well, the CP3, 25-plus points and Phoenix win is always a good one. Because I think at the moment that's 7-1, 25-plus points and a Phoenix win. Chris Paul, 30-plus points and a Phoenix win, 15-1. Just saying. You know that he's going to leave it all out there because he's got to. Is he a bit bunged up though? Who knows? Chris Paul, 2-plus threes, Phoenix win, that's 4-1. And the Chris Paul points, rebounds, assists over is 34.5. So if you think he's going to drop 30, you better jump on that too. The Giannis combined points, rebounds, assists is 52.5. I'm going to go the under there. I think he just has like a little bit of a downstep game. Even if the Bucks win this, I think a lot of it's going to be do with Middleton and Jrue Holiday stepping up again. Middleton, the points, rebounds, assists over 38.5, because I think if they win that, it's because of Middleton stepping up and doing lots of everything. Booker and Middleton, 10 assists combined. I like that one. That's just at even money. Paul and Giroux. Chris Paul, Giroux, Holiday, 10 rebounds combined. That's even money as well. Go check out that. There's also 2 threes in the first 2 minutes. Give that one a look. Love that one. Booker and Giannis to score 35 plus each. Do you like that? $7.30. Not bad, not bad. 8 and 12.5 rebounds over, and Giannis 13.5 rebounds over. I'm going over on both of those. If you think the Bucks can win, I'd lean on Brook Lopez stepping up massively. Brook Lopez 15 plus points and Milwaukee win. That's at 550-1. And 2 threes for Lopez and a Milwaukee win. That's 450. Drew Holiday 20 plus points and a Milwaukee win's 5-1 as well. So there you go. Lots of good options. Lots of fun stuff. Go check it out. Remember, bet responsibly. Now, daily fantasy. I've already mentioned this. I think if the Bucks are going to win, it's going to be a lot of Middleton. I think we get a massive Chris Paul game, so I'm going to shell out for Chris Paul and Middleton and Lopez. Going to jump on that because I think he steps up too. And around the edges, I reckon we get another couple of nice little buckets out of Cam Johnson. I'd steer clear of campaign on the road. But, yeah, maybe not Michael Bridges or Crowder either. It's a bit of a tough one. Patty C is always a good gap filler. So there you go. I'm going to go Chris Paul, Middleton heavy on most of my stuff. I reckon Giroux does some good stuff too. Keep an eye on your Yana, see how you can finagle your salaries, and off you go. Either way, Daily Fantasy, super awesome. Go check it out on DraftKings Australia. Use dkng.co/trade to sign up or any of the links on our websites and socials. Boom. Awesome. All right. Well, it's going to be great. I can't wait. And I guess I'll talk to you after game 6 because no show tomorrow. Unless, you know, we have to do a crazy emergency podcast like we did last week. That was fun. Anyway, I'll talk to you on Wednesday, I guess. That's going to be fun. Make sure you're following NBA Stream on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials. You know that. All the time. Get around NBAStream.com/shop. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a hoodie. Do some good stuff like that. Check us a rating and review on your podcast app. It really does help. Look, I don't ask for too much. Just fucking rate and review it, would you? Especially on Apple. That really does help. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack. Knowable. Download that from the App Store. Get 20% off with the code STRAYA. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out their new band, House Hats. They're running out of times out now. It's awesome. Also, thanks to Joshua De La Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sexshed, Green, 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 and Dozers. The tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Spotify, Apple Music. Facey, however you listen to your tunes, support them. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And get right around an absolute cracking episode of World Wrestling Australia this week because we've got all the NXT and AEW results on World Wrestling Australia, as always, with Adam. Duke Hudson, the latest Aussie on the WWE roster, nearly punched his opponent's head off on NXT this week, so go check that out. Adam's got everything covered, all world wrestling stuff related. It's awesome. Over on YouTube, subscribe to that. He's got roster changes in WWE, an update on Baron Corbin's midlife crisis. There's heaps of shit. It's awesome. Go check it out, World Wrestling Australia on YouTube. All right, we'll finish off with a brand new Delhi review of Loki, and we'll catch you tomorrow. No, we'll catch you on Wednesday. That's right, we'll catch you on Wednesday, you dickheads. After game 6, will we be wrapping up the NBA season, or will we be previewing a game 7? Who knows? Cannot wait. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, look, if you're in lockdown, look after yourself. Look after yourselves anyway. But I'm just saying, if you need to fang anyone a message, I'm always here, mate. Just here for you. That's what I do. Either way, catch you on Wednesday. Later, Hosanna! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your mate Deli over here just hanging out with the boys on the plane to bloody Japan. Because we're going to the fucking Olympics. And I'll tell you what, I've had a couple of Ronas and just sort of settling into the big old flight. It's been a big bloody week, I'll tell you that much. We beat Team USA. I signed with Melbourne United. Here we go, here we go, here we go. We're going to go in gold. And we had a big boomer culture night the other day and shit. That was sick as. Got to pretend we're old-timey and shit like that. Got the old, a Cobra. I got a free t-shirt. That was fucking sick as. Got a hug with Gorge. Fucking love that, eh? But yeah, sick as. The boys were psyched. I reckon we also ducked one with that COVID shit too, eh? That flogged Brad Beal. Oh, that prick fucking hates me, I'll tell you that much. You knock one dude's block off one time and he's fucking got it in for you. Anyway, we all dodged that bullet. That was fucking sick as, because that would have been fucked if anyone got it here, eh? But anyway, so we didn't have that extra game against the USA. We all reckon they're just fucking shit scared of us now, eh? Isn't that right, Joey? Hey, well, you got your headphones on? If fucking whatever. All right, so we jumped on the plane to Japan. That's where I am now. And, yeah, look, it's just been a fucking sick week. So a couple of rain of tins in me and I'm a bit loose. Bangers is fucking icing up his knees. All right, he's had a couple of tins too. Oh, yes, but anyway, it's a big fucking week. I'll tell you, oh, Paddy's going to be the flag bearer and shit. Joey's stoked, Banger's stoked, the kids like Greeny and Maddie and shit are beside themselves. It's just a great vibe. Like, yeah, I got a, you know, slab of Corona in my fucking bag for when we win gold and shit anyway, but, yeah. Oh, BT Dubs, want to thank everyone for all the nice words about how much you all fucking hate Melbourne United. Oh, that's funny as, man. Yeah, cheers. All right, so, after a couple of weeks of causing havoc in Vegas with the boys and shit, we're on the plane and I used the time so far to catch up on that Loki. Have you watched that Loki? So look, no spoils or nothing, but like that was fucked up, that telly series, eh? Like, oh, I barely fucking know what's going on, but it was sick as. I love like the throwback retro future set design and shit. Like that's just fucking, that's what I want my house to look like. Fucking, can you walk in the deli house? It's just like old timey and like Corona tinny and shit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyway, but look, it was really cool, all the pruning and all the time travel and the shit they were talking about, and that fucking alligator. What's up with the fucking alligator prick? That was awesome, and the variants and shit like that. Look, it was a rollicking ride all series, and I really enjoyed it. I can't even wait to meet a deli variant. We'd smash tins, have a fucking laugh, it'd be grouse ass. But yeah, got to the end, and I was like, fuck, that was nuts, wasn't it? Like, all that shit with Loki and his mates, and like that big fucking cloud. Oh, tell you what, and then the cliffhanger at the end. Holy shit, I can't wait for the next series. I'm sitting here all G'd up on the fucking plane. Like, come on, Loki, what are you doing, man? Bangers are sitting there going, what are you doing, dickhead? I'm like, shut up, I'm fucking watching Loki. Anyway, so it easy gets 26 out of 10 deli ones. It was fucking fun as. Loki might be my new favourite Marvel character as well. He's a bit fucking weird. He's a bit of a legend, just like me. So, yeah, go give it a smash. Tell us what you reckon, eh? So, Loki, pretty fucking great. All right, that's it for this week. I'll catch us next week when we're in Japan for another pop culture review. All right, later, fuckers. Deli out.